The Gospels tell us very little about what happened the day after Jesus died. In fact, 3 out of the 4 are entirely silent on the events of the Sabbath. All 4 give details of the dying moments of Jesus' life, because we know that the women stood at a distance. Some even tell us that there were others who followed with them. They all tell the story of Joseph of Arimathea asking for Jesus' body and of the body then being placed in a borrowed tomb. They all make it clear that the next day it is the Sabbath. For the Jews, that's a silent day. No activity for them. All food prepared the day before, only absolutely essential activity could happen. For this is a day of rest, of allowing the creation to wait with God. But in one gospel, there is activity. Matthew reports that the Romans were aware of the story of Jesus' promise of resurrection. And so because they're afraid that the disciples might use any means to make that happen, Pilate places a guard at the entrance to the tomb. There's no mention of the disciples. The last mention of any of them was Peter's denial. Other than that, the rest disappeared after Jesus' arrest. Christian tradition has tried to fill the gap, and so some may know that Holy Saturday is the day in which the harrowing of hell is supposed to take place. It's a notion that we speak of in the Apostles' Creed, because we make mention of Jesus descending into hell. But we don't find it in any of the Gospels we read. It's only found in a non-canonical Gospel, the Gospel of Nicodemus. And yes, you heard his name in the reading. That Gospel tells the story of Jesus entering hell to bring Adam to heaven. There's much more to the story. It's a long story. And a story that includes a notion that Beelzebub is given control over Satan. It's no surprise it doesn't make it into the Bible. It's a strange gospel. It's thought to have been written around the time of the 3rd century. And because of that, it appears in a variety of poetic forms. And perhaps why it finds its way into the Apostles' Creed. However, it tells the story to fill in the gap of what happened to Jesus prior to his resurrection. But still, we have to wonder what happens to those who followed as they dealt with their loss, abandonment, their denial, and their pain. Perhaps it was a day in which they replayed the events of the last 3 years, time spent in the highs and the lows, time wondering how life might have been. What if they hadn't gone to Jerusalem? What if they hadn't been in Gethsemane? What if they'd never met Jesus? What if Jesus had never died? If only they had listened more closely. If only they had stopped Jesus saying the things he said. If only they'd been courageous and tried to release Jesus from the guard. What ifs and onlys are the themes of this day. It's a day in which time spent reflecting on how life could be different for disciples and for us. What we're about to do here in the Abbey revisits some of the stories from the last few days of Holy Week. But it also revisits some of what would have been happening in Jerusalem on the Saturday to the Sunday. It's an opportunity to think over the meaning for ourselves, to maybe find a new understanding that will invite us to live differently tomorrow. Around the building, what we've done is placed some tables, which are called stations. And on the tables, there are some items. There's also a card explaining everything. The crowds table is up at the centre pillar, just here, and it's sitting in front of it. And all you'll find on that table is a bit of paper and some pencils. And on the bit of paper are pictures of people. The explanation tells you a wee bit more about what you're to do, but the basic thing is you're to draw yourself. It doesn't have to be an accurate drawing. If you can only do a stick figure, that's absolutely fine. But it invites you to think a wee bit about the kind of crowds that Jesus was part of within the last week. Hidden over here, behind this big pillar, there are some building blocks. And if you've ever been a toddler or you've watched a toddler, you know that when you're angry, when you're frustrated, there's nothing better than to knock over a pile of building blocks. Well, if that's where you are today, go knock some over and then take time to rebuild them. Over at this centre pillar, there is some hand cream. Anointing happens in two ways during Holy Week. We think of the unnamed woman who anointed Jesus' feet. But actually it's an opportunity to think of tomorrow morning when the women head to anoint Jesus and find his body is not there. So there's some hand cream there. There's a description of how you might use that to think a little bit more about the story and how you feel. Then, fellowship is bang in the centre of the church. It is where our fellowship takes place, around the communion table. And so in the centre of church, there is bread and wine and a story to read. Betrayal is behind this pillar. And betrayal is silver coins. There's an instruction on how you're to use the silver coins, and the silver coins are all tied to betrayal. And then the cross is right here. And again, there's a wee description of what you could do here. And the palm crosses are just to the side. And it's a moment at which we think about how the cross is the beginning. It is an ending and a beginning. It's not one thing, it's both. And then finally, if you feel that you just want time to pray, then the memorial chapel is open and a candle is lit, and you're welcome to spend time in a memorial chapel.